Good morning, everybody. We are in Parashat Tetzaveh, and this is where, let's say, one of the important things of our parasha is when we look at Parashat Tetzaveh. The beginning is with the menorah, with the oil that we have to bring for the menorah. It has to be pure, and this is why we're talking about this. Just talking about posnas that have been this week there, last week. You see, you come to Poland and you don't know what to expect. So, because from one side it sounds like a East Europe, like, you know, a horrible place, not sophisticated, not modern. So, first of all, I was amazed that it is quite modern, and they have so many shops there that, like, it's mad. Like, they have a mall after a mall and another mall. And it's very interesting to see that I'm sure that a lot of Israelis involved in building all those malls. Mm-hmm. I think Moti Zisser in his time, Zichrono Livracha, he also built some of few malls. And, like, for example, one of the interesting super farm that we have here, you have there in every corner.
Can you tell me? I need food and super farm here is out of
stock. So you can go to Poland.
I'll tell that.
I'm sorry, they haven't put down the
food. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Anyway, what I was thinking to myself, when you understand what happened in Poland and you understand the communities, the Jewish community that used to live there, like, it was... So it's just such a great place for that, a very important Jewish community, and
they were the largest Jewish sect that were murdered in the Holocaust was from Poland.
Because, you know, it's very reasonable, because what happens is, like, for example, Poznań, where I've been, is on the border from Poland to Germany. It's near the border of Germany, and I was amazed to understand that the first place where they killed the Jews was in Poznań. They took one of the fortresses there and they made it as a concentration, not a concentration camp, how do you call it, Ashmada?
Extermination.
Like, they gassed them there, they burned the bodies, and you see all those things. Because we didn't know that it was there, that it was like 10 minutes from the hotel, it was this place, and it's unbelievable to see it and understand. You know, sometimes I was always against going to Poland and to see all those things. And I still don't know if I'm improving, like, in for it. But I must say that to see it in your own eyes when you're there, it makes it alive. It makes it, it makes you to understand this feeling. It's very interesting to see that our power, the power of the Jewish nation, is such so great that after all we went through, we are, Baruch Hashem, still here, and nobody can touch us. And this is because of the Shemen Zayit Zach Katit Lamaor. When we want to give on our knowledge and the tradition, it has to come from the purest source. Otherwise, we have a problem. And Baruch Hashem, throughout the generation, we had all those great people that, with a pure heart, transferred their knowledge and their tradition and their belief to us. That is why we're here. And if we start playing games with this pure oil, we will have a big problem, as we have here and there. And this is what exactly the Torah is telling us. It's telling, to light the menorah, you need to have the purest oil. Only the first drop of the olive is kosher for lighting the menorah. Only the first drop. So you can imagine to yourself how many olives they need in order to have oil for the menorah. It's unbelievable. And some of you think, why? Well, what's so important? But when we understand that the menorah is the symbol of Am Yisrael, and if we want to put it in a, maybe we can say that the menorah is the body and the light is the soul. And in order to have this body with the soul connected in the right way, it can only be done with the purest oil. Otherwise, it's not going to work. Unfortunately, we all know that a lot of the problems of the Jewish nation happened because we started to mingle and to integrate into the goyim. That's when it all started. And we have to put it in our mind. Now, when you stand there in Poznan, in this fortress, what you call it, and this, you see how they killed our people, and you see all the documents, and you see the place where they burned them. And, you know, you live it, like, and you understand and realize, this is Zachor et asher asa lecha Amalek. This is Amalek. Amalek is not only a state of mind. It's all, it's everything together. It's the will to destroy the truth. It's the will to destroy the Jewish nation. And they, by the way, do you know there was the Poland, it's so unbelievable. Everything is in Poland. No English, certainly no Hebrew, not even German. Everything in Poland, like they are like in a state of mind that it's not exactly Jews who were killed there. There were Poland citizens. Sure. Like in this way, they just put themselves, they are nothing, they had nothing to do with it. They are tzaddikim. And we all know that they are not. I'm not, okay, of course the German, they had the idea and they started it all. But a lot of the Poland helped them. And most, let's say, I don't know how many, but at least 90-95% of those who were killed in those camps were Jews, not just Poland citizens. But when you look at it, you don't find anything specific about Jews.
ברוך אתה אדוני אלוהינו מלך העולם שהכל נהיה בדברו.
Well, it's a mistake that Hitler chose Poland to establish the death camps, and he would be helped by the Poles.
Not only helped, you have to say, Poznan, for example, I think there were 200 years that Germans were there. They were controlling the place. It wasn't, they were talking, by the way, the dialect that they talk today also there, they have a few words in German. Because of what they had. But the funny thing is, they talk at the German like they hated the idea that they ruled there. But when you go deep into it, you understand and realize that they were a part of this machine.
I just want to quickly say, I read that the Polish president, Gemaszimow Zecho, said, the Jews provoke anti-Semitism by accusing the Poles for collaborating with Hitler.
You have to understand, Poland is on the border of Germany. Poznan is the nearest place that like to Germany, just go in and you're there. So they were a part of it, and they're not exactly Jew lovers. But I must say that we cannot just blame this or that. The idea was a German idea. You see that, like, all those posters that they have there, like, of this new race that they're going to build, the Ari race, that like the German. Anyway, it is, how do you say, shocking to see it in real, and you understand that here, in the place you're standing, they burned our people, tortured them, and did experiments on them. So God is telling us, the interesting thing is, in our parsha, it's all, who is Batata and you will order? Who are we talking about? Who is going to order? Moshe Rabbeinu, yes? But Moshe Rabbeinu is not mentioned in his name, not once in our parsha. Not once is he mentioned in our parsha. It's Ve'ata, 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 but every now and then, for example, when he tells him, Ve'ata krav elecha et aron achicha, you take your brother. So, who is you? Only Moshe. Yeah, but his brother, there are only two brothers. So it must be Moshe. But his name is not written. Aaron is written. A lot of other names are written, but not the name of Moshe. So first of all, we have to understand why. Why is it not written? And then we have to send something else. When I say Ve'ata tetzaveh, Ve'ata, I don't need the word Ve'ata. I can say Tzav. Order Bnei Israel to do this. I don't need, and you will order. Order them. And then I save the word. And if the Torah uses another word, it means that there is an inner meaning in there. So first of all, to understand, why is Moshe Rabbeinu not mentioned in our parsha? Moshe Rabbeinu, in the golden calf scene, when God wanted to destroy Am Yisrael, he said, if you are going to destroy Am Yisrael, mark me out of your book. מכני נא מספרך אשר כתבת. And they say, קללת צדיק אפילו על תנאי, אינה שווה ריקם. Says, when a tzaddik says something, it's going to happen. Something has to happen. So, of course, we know Baruch Hashem, Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't destroy Am Yisrael. So, nothing should happen. So Moshe Rabbeinu can stay in the book. But, because he said what he said, the Kodesh Baruch Hu made it that one parasha is not mentioned. And this is our parasha. Now, why is it our parasha and not another parasha? First of all, because in our parasha, it's very clear that the one that we talk about is Moshe Rabbeinu. Then, in our parasha, he's also punished about the argument he had with Kodesh Baruch Hu when he sent him to Egypt. If you remember, for a whole week, he was arguing with the Kodesh Baruch Hu about going or not going. Going or not going. He doesn't want, send Aaron. Send Aaron, my brother, says, okay. That's what you said, you're going to be punished for it. And in our parasha, he had to be the high priest. But instead of he being the high priest, he gives this to his brother Aaron. In other words, he is punished twice in our parasha. That's why in our parasha, it is all inside. Then another interesting thing is that it always falls on the birthday of Moshe Rabbeinu and the day he died. The day he died and the day he was born. This is Zayin Ba'adar, which we are today. Today is the day when Moshe Rabbeinu died and was born. And this is another interesting point to show the Goyim and all those other religions that we don't make our prophet a god. Not only we don't make him a god, and they celebrate his birthday and when he died and when he go, and Via della Rosa and the day he was born. We don't even know where he was buried, and when the day when his birthday is, we don't even mention his name. So in other words, there's so many things in this idea about Moshe Rabbeinu not being named in our parasha. By the way, there is a question that our sages asked. 1 minute, it's not exactly right, because in the old times, they used to read the Torah in 3 years. So it wouldn't fall on this week. But this is also no problem, because then you can say that our sages, when they organize the Torah, that you will read it in one year... You see that it falls on every year on the day that Moshe Rabbeinu, on the week that Moshe Rabbeinu was born, which is very interesting. So if we connect all those things together, we see an unbelievable picture. First of all, we see the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. Then we see that the greater he is, and he is the biggest prophet of all, but still, at the end of the day, he is a human being. This is why the Torah is telling us he is not mentioned here. And another interesting point, that when Haman Arasha did the lottery in order to find out in what day he's going to kill the Jews, it fell on the month of Hadar. And he was very happy about it, because in the month of Hadar, Moshe Rabbeinu died. But how stupid this idea is, because on the same day that he was died, he also was born. So it's not a good date for Haman Arasha, as we see. And who is Haman Arasha? He's Amalek. Again, we have the Amalek. And this is, I think, the most important point in Ve'atah Tetzaveh. Because all what we said now, we can say without Ve'atah. I don't have to say, and you order Amis. I can say order. Tzav. Akrev. I don't need Ve'atah. I don't need, and you will. So one of the beautiful explanation is that Ve'ata is each one of us. God is approaching each one of us and tells us we have the job to order ourselves, our families, to go in the right way. And to do this, we need the first drop of the olive. Only the first drop of the olive can do this. If it's the second one, it's no good again. And this is And how true it is, because we see in our history that the minute that started to compromise with the religion, it just led to terrible places. Because, you know, there is a difference between somebody who Yetzer Hara makes him do sin, because and somebody who says, that's not a sin. There's a big difference. Because you can be a sinner and keep only one mitzvah, and you're still a good Jew, because you know that you sinned. You know the right way. But even if you keep all the mitzvahs, and you decide that one mitzvah is not a mitzvah, you are a sinner. You are a kofer. Why? Because the Torah, whatever is written there, is everything is emet, is true. Everything. You cannot just take one thing and take it out. So the minute that Am Yisrael, people decided in Am Yisrael to play around with the religion, then all the problem starts. Because, see, this is again, why Am Yisrael are being said that they are like an olive tree. They like olives. Because, for example, the olive tree has got its leaves all year round. That, the leaves don't fall from the tree. Then, in order to take the oil out of the olive, what do you have to do?
Squeeze it.
Squeeze, break, whatever, but it's not going to go easy. This is like Am Yisrael. In order for Am Yisrael to do tshuva, in order for Am Yisrael to go in the right way, life have to squeeze them sometimes in order to take out the purity. And this is Vayishman Yeshurun Vayiv'at. The minute that you give freedom to the people, you're starting to have a problem. What do I mean freedom? The freedom to decide for themselves what is right and what is wrong. Because we really don't know what is right and what is wrong. We think we know. That's why we have the Torah. And as we said, the God is Anochi Hashem Elokecha, says God is telling us, if you want to go in the right way, there is only one way, my way. And even if it sometimes looks terrible, it's the best for you. And in life we see that sometimes things that happen to us, and we think at the time that it was bad, and then later on we find out it was the best thing that happened to us.
This is my short story. There was a mother of three children who died in Eastern Europe. So they went to Switzerland, and her father remarried. And that's how they were saved from the Holocaust, because one mother died, the rest, they had another three children in Switzerland, because that mother died, all the rest of the family survived, because that made them go to Switzerland.
There are a lot of stories and that are woven with terrible things, but at the end of the day, if we believe that this world is just a temporary world, and it's not, it's Alma de Shikra, it's not the real world. The real world is up there. That's what it is. We're only here for a limited time, and we have to prepare ourselves here to go to the next world, which is the important place. Now, in order to understand that you cannot play games with the Torah, I think it was 3 years ago, or even last year, I think, somebody came to me, and for, you know, just to give you a sample, you know, you have a car, for example. And last week, it was unbelievable. I was going, I think it was the day that I was going on, and there was this parking space near a kiosk, whatever, that was blocked by a car. And I thought, what is this car doing in the middle of the road? And I went in off the own, says, well, you don't know, this lady, she filled up petrol in a petrol station, but it puts the wrong fuel in. And after she drove for a few kilometers, the engine started breaking down, and now she cannot move the car. It stopped there. So you see that even with the car, if you don't put the right oil in, the right petrol in, what happens? Doesn't work. It breaks. That's exactly with us. If you don't put the pure oil in, not 95, 100. The car is 95. 98, something, we need 100. 100% pure. That's the only oil for our engine that's going to work. And a year ago, somebody came to me. Very interesting. He's coming, he's getting closer to the religion. He's not religious. And his wife, not his household, is not it's not the traditional, nothing. And he started to do tshuva. And his wife doesn't exactly approve it. She accepts it that he's what he's doing. She's not disturbing him, but he has a problem on Shabbos, and he doesn't know what to do, because he doesn't want to break the family, and he loves his wife, and his wife loves him, and loves his kids, of course, and his wife doesn't let him to keep Shabbos. You know, she doesn't mind that he's lighting candles, that he's doing kiddush, but she wants him to take her here and there with the car, and all other things. So he didn't know what to do. So he went to a few rabbis. Why? Because some of the rabbis he went, that told him, no, what should I do? He says, no, Shabbos is Shabbos, you know. You cannot, you have to confront your wife and to explain to her that you cannot mechalel Shabbos. There is no... And some other rabbi told him, you know, you are on a procedure to do tshuva. And the main thing is the intention. Your intention is to do tshuva. You don't really want to mechalel Shabbos. So in certain cases, you can mechalel Shabbos because of your wife in order to keep the family whole. And also, the main thing is the intention. So he's asking me, what do you think? Says, first of all, I'm saying, I'm not a rabbi, not posek halachot, I'm sorry, you have to... I hear you every day, I want to know what is your opinion. Says, you want to read my opinion? I'll tell you my opinion. Shabbos is Shabbos. You cannot play around with it. Now, if you really love your wife, and your wife loves you, you have to find a way to work together. The compromise cannot be on Shabbos. The compromise has to be between you. How do you do it? But you cannot just... tell a rabbi who tells you that you're allowed to do something. This is a very interesting point, because some people think that what is the idea? The idea is getting closer to God. Yes? That's the idea. So if I'm going to be a loving person, I'm going to love everybody, and I'm going to love God, and I'm going to get close to God, I'm going to be very high, so I don't need to practice the mitzvahs. It doesn't work like this. Because you have to think, it's very simple. It's like the menorah. The menorah is a body of the menorah, and it's the light of the menorah. Now, you cannot light without the menorah, and the menorah is nothing without the light. The same way, the body is nothing without the soul, and the soul is nothing without the body. So if God put the soul and the body together, what does it mean? That I have to practice the soul through my body. In other words, I have to do the mitzvahs. I cannot just say, Omka, I'm spiritual. No, there is nothing like this, because in order for the human being to be spiritual, it has to be connected through the body. So then, I explained to him, you have to understand, when we say La'alot ner tamid here, this light should light always. One of those things is Shabbos. Shabbos is the symbol of the Jewish nation. So in this case, you know, you can do compromises here and there, but you cannot compromise on the symbol of being Jewish. And being Jewish is Shabbos. And you cannot compromise with the Shabbos. So what should you do? You have to check. If your wife believes in the Creator, as I understood from him, that she believes there is a God, but she doesn't believe in the way. There are a lot of people like this. Says, you know, I believe there is a God, but that's okay. But you know, I don't believe in all those mitzvahs. Says, after all, if she believes there is a God, and if she loves you, and of course, it's not easy. You're on the way to do tshuva, and you know your wife didn't marry you as a religious guy, she married you as a non-religious guy, and everything, all those things you have to take in consideration when you approach the problem. But to solve the problem, it's not, okay, I'm not going to keep Shabbos. That's no solution. That's the terrible thing that happened to Am Yisrael through generation, that they start to compromise with Shabbos. I think I told you once that... somebody told me about how the conservative and the reform also, they got to where they got. So they had in the state, they had a problem. That shul was very, very far away. And there was no way on a lot of the community to get to shul on Shabbos by foot. Impossible. It could be a walk of a few hours or even an hour. You know, people won't do it. So in one of those places, the rabbi decided, you know what? Because of the situation, and because we want to stay religious, because we want to stay Jewish, because we have to want a minyan, we have to daven, we want Shabbos in shul, I am allowing you to drive on Shabbos from your home to the shul and back. That's it. Only from the home to shul and back. Nothing else. But you know what happened now? On the way, they went to the mall, and then coming back, they had a picnic. And slowly but surely, they drove on Shabbos like to everywhere. And that's the way it works. Now, this rabbi who started it, he had all the good intention of the world in order to keep people close to the community and all those great ideas. But you have to understand, it's not what we think. It's what God tells us to do. And if God tells you to keep Shabbos, you keep Shabbos. And if there's not going to be a minion, it's not going to be a minion. Now, you can cover your eyes sometimes. And it happens all over the world. It's people coming to shul with a car, but they put the car a few blocks away, and they walk to shul. And everybody knows it's not allowed on Shabbos. Okay, as we started our talk and we said, if you know it's not allowed, you are already on the right way. But if, how can you do tshuva if you think you're right? You cannot do tshuva. If I decide today that Shabbos I can do whatever I want to, and I think it is all right, I will never keep Shabbos. And you know, it doesn't stop on Shabbos. It goes on and on and on, and you see it. As we all know, that the third generation of the reforms in New York, for example, they don't exist. They're not there. They are going. Why? Because if you don't keep this, and then you can't keep this, and then you can marry whoever you want, because to convert it's like this, no problem. Come, you want to be Jewish? Okay, you're Jewish. Bah, bah, bah. And then, of course, they don't even care about being Jewish traditionally, not traditionally, and then we all know the... So I told this guy, I didn't tell him the whole story. I said, you know, if you love your wife, and as you say, your wife loves you, and you want to stay together, and you say that your wife believes in God, so you have to explain to her, because one of the things his wife told him, he said, I can understand you're not lighting fire on Shabbos, but not turning on and off the light? Well, what's wrong with it? That's not fire. So you have to start from the beginning. You have to explain to her, if you believe in God and you love me, I love you. I don't want to break the family. You have to understand that there are certain laws, not everything we understand. But lighting fire, or what is lighting fire, those are sages, they decided how to do it. And in this way, when you explain to her the idea, again, I told her, if she believes in God, if she doesn't believe in God, you have to first of all convince that there is a God, because otherwise there is no argument, there is no talk. The talk can be only if both of you believe in God, but you don't know the right way. Or you find the right way, and she didn't. And she doesn't believe in all those nonsense, what she calls it, turning on and off the light, which, you know, somebody from the outside, I never forget it, but there are Pinko Zatzali once talked about it, that somebody comes and have all this old argument about Shabbos, about this, says, this argument is stupid. Because you cannot explain somebody who doesn't believe in God and in the Torah that you're not allowed to push a button on Shabbos. Because it's not work and it's not a lighting fire. So how are you going to explain to him? In other words, if you are going to try to explain to him, you will never succeed. So what do? You start from the beginning. You don't start answering him, why am I not allowed to press the button? Don't talk about it. The first thing you want to ask him is, do you believe in God? Now, if he doesn't believe in God, there's nothing to talk about. Nothing to talk about. It's a waste of time. Now, if he believes in God, okay, now go a step further. Do you believe in the Torah that is from God? Now, if he believes that the Torah is from God, then we can start talking. Is this famous story in the Gemara about this guy who wanted to convert to become Jewish. And he came to Beis Shammai, and Shammai threw him away. Then he came to Hillel, and Hillel, he told him, I want to learn the whole Torah on one foot. And of course, Shammai heard this thing, and says, you send him away. But when he came to Hillel, he says, oh, no problem. Ve'ahavta le'racha kamocha. Told him. And very interesting, that's the whole Torah on one foot. This guy converted and become an ultra-Orthodox Jew. And you have to understand, what Hillel HaZaken did is very clever. He understood that this guy, he really wants to become Jewish. He had the wrong reason, because he heard that about the clause of Kohen Gadol. By the way, that's in the Megillah also, that Achashverosh, he wore the high priest cloth that they took from the temple in Jerusalem. And it's not allowed, but we're not going to go into it now. Now, why was he doing it? And he was also organizing the meal as a sacrifice. He gave his servants names of sacrifices, and it was very interesting. He had wine and he had the sacrifice meat, and in order to, like, showing God, I am worshipping you. And this is exactly the point when you have to understand that when we talk about being Jewish on bringing a sacrifice and all those things, we have to understand the way it goes is that wearing the clothes of Kohen Gadol, they say that it's going to purify you from all your sins. So this is what Achashverosh in his distraught mind had an idea, nothing's going to happen to me because I'm doing it with the clothes of Kohen Gadol and etc., etc., etc. This guy, he heard the Talmidim in the Beis Midrash discussing the issue about the clothes of Kohen Gadol that we have in our parsha, and he realized that if somebody is a sinner, the minute the Kohen Gadol wears the clothes, everything is new, is like a new thing. It's like, by the way, if somebody, a chatan and a kala, on the day they're getting married, all the sins are marked out. They are starting like a new page. And this is exactly what he heard, and he was thinking about it, how many sins he did. He says, I become Jewish now, and I wear the bradim of Kohen Gadol, and when I wear the clothes of Kohen Gadol, I will be purified, and I am a good guy. Everything is okay. What he didn't know is that you cannot be Kohen Gadol if you're not a Kohen. You cannot, if you're not from the tribe of Levi, if you're not a Kohen from your father and grandfather, you cannot be a Kohen. Nevertheless, you are a Goy. Now, to convert to be Jewish, you got no chance to be a Kohen. Not even close. Now, when you come with this idea, a normal rabbi will tell you, do me a favor, get lost. But Hillel, he knew that deep inside this guy really wants to become Jewish. But he thinks that through wearing the clothes of Kohen Gadol, he will be a pure guy. He will get closer to God. So what did he do? He started with a very simple thing. Don't do to your fellow man what you hate. In other words, what you are asking me now is also a part of the... He realized it later. Because you are coming, let's say, you come to Einstein. And you tell him, Professor Einstein, please explain to me the whole whole thing of Torah. I don't know how you say it in English. Torah Hasidut. Tell me your old things that you know, like on one foot. You're crazy. I was learning for many, many years, and the knowledge I've got is like I wrote books on it. You want it on one foot? And that's exactly what this guy was asking. He wants to know the whole Torah on one foot. But it depends how you look at things. And that's exactly the point. What was happening here is unbelievable. What Hillel did, he told him, you want to know the Torah on one foot? I'll tell you. Ve'ahavta le'racha kamocha. You should love your fellow man and don't do to anybody what you hate. It went in him. And he started learning the laws. And then he realized that he cannot be Kohen Gadol. But he was already in. But if you send him away on the spot, you have a problem. And this is the place where we have to understand and realize. Only when we try to fix things and do things through the Torah in the purest way, the first drop of olive, that's the only way we can do it. And by the way, another thing with the oil, when you put it in a glass and you do whatever, you mix it, you can mix it for 2 days. When you leave it, the oil goes up. That's Am Yisrael. And in through the generation, they all try to mix us, they all try to destroy us, but we always flow up. Because Am Yisrael is being fed from this oil of the menorah. And as long as we have, and Baruch Hashem we have, not everybody, we have the leaders that go in the way of the Torah, we will be, and also as we said, it's also our job to give it to ourselves, to our families, give them only the purest way. Because when you compromise, you have problems. Again, you can sin, it happens, we are all human beings, we cannot, there is Tzadik Baal Shaseh Tov Velo Yechta, but when you know that you're wrong, you can fix it. But if you think you're right, then you have a problem. And that's the reason that we have to be very pure about it. And I hope that this guy, by the way, that I answered him then, in a few words, I told him that if you love each other, and you really want to be together, and she really believes in God. So you have to explain to her in a very nice way. Says, okay, slowly but surely. No, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be difficult. But you have to understand, if you love me and I want to keep Shabbos, I cannot drive on Shabbos, because it's against the law of Shabbos. But if you want, you can do whatever you want to. But don't force me to do something I don't want to do. Al tase lecha v'chama shesanu alecha. Don't force me to sin. And if you really love each other, you will work it out together. And Be'ezrat Hashem, maybe she also will join you in time, which by the time happens a lot. That when one of the couple started to do tshuva, does it in the right way, not in the, you know, terrible way. Eventually, the influence is there. And it happens. I wish all of us that this pure oil will go through our leaders that were... And we'll wait and see what's happening, and we hope Be'ezrat Hashem that all is going to be letovah for all Amis. Amen.